John Lucas has written a short story about a local race car driver from Covington entitled The Bravest of Them All, The Legend of Stan Bowman. We're glad to have him in the studio with us tonight. Welcome, John.
Pleasure to be here.
Who was Stan Bowman, and why did you honor him with this story all these years later?
Yeah, 50 years, or more than 50 years today, I guess. Stan was a local race car driver who lived in Covington, Kentucky in the late 50s and early 60s. And he was a track champion at a local track called Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and Lawrenceburg, still there today. And he drove what was called modified cars in those days, which were very fast cars, had a little top on them and that. And in 1960, 61, he was 31, 32 years old. And he got discovered, literally discovered in a way, by a fellow by the name of Harold Beck from Dayton, Ohio. And Harold Beck at that time had a race car that was running in what was called the USAC circuit, which was the United States Auto Club, which was the sanctioning body for the Indianapolis 500. So frankly, if you ever wanted to drive an Indianapolis 500 in the 1960s, you were going to have to go through the USAC circuit. And that circuit was basically the sprint cars that he drove, which were smaller versions of Indy cars, if I could describe it, I guess, in 1960. And you had to prove your worth there, because that's where the battles were fought on these dirt tracks in the Midwest at that time, mostly all dirt, some asphalt, places like Salem, Indiana. But Stan got an opportunity to drive. He was a track champion at Lawrenceburg. Harold Beck saw him and said, I want to put this young man in my race car. So he approached Stan. And my father was a friend of Stan's. That's how I knew Stan. And Stan was one of my heroes. I was 10 years old, 11 years old at the time, and watched Stan race at Lawrenceburg. So Stan got the opportunity to drive for Harold Beck. And just by coincidence, a track called Eldora Speedway, which is pretty famous today, was going to hold the very first USAC sprint car race in April 22, 1962. And Stan, as a rookie, was going to get to drive in it.
That racetrack, Eldora, is up in Rossburg, north of Dayton.
Yes, up in Rossburg. And at that time, it was owned by a fellow by the name of Earl Baltus, who made the track very famous. And as many race fans know, Tony Stewart bought the track about 10 years ago. Part of the thing that made it famous was bringing in these drivers to drive at that track. And in that day, some very famous drivers would drive there. On that April day came the great Parnelli Jones, who was going to be a 500 winner, a young Johnny Rutherford, who would win the Indianapolis 500 three times, the Jim Hurtubise, which was probably considered the best sprint car driver around at that time. And they all came into that track thinking they were going to take some easy money that day at Earl's first race, and they ran into Stan Bowman.
And that was April 22nd, 1962.
1962, yes.
And so, he won the race?
He won the race, and what made it very interesting was he was driving what was called an Offenhauser motor at that time, and the 327 engine had just come into the racing, and they were much more powerful than the Offenhauser. So you can imagine that day there was Jones and Hurtubise and a number of others with these powerful motors, all Indianapolis 500 veterans. Hurtubise had just been Rookie of the Year, and Jones was going to win the 500 the next year. And here's this young man from Northern Kentucky, who they never heard of, they didn't know, driving for an owner who had never won a USAC sprint car race. Harold Beck had been trying for a long time, but here it was. And magic happened that day, and Stan, what they didn't know about Stan was he was very experienced. He'd been driving for 10 or 12 years on these dirt tracks around here. He knew dirt track racing. As I describe in the book, he went out there and won the race in a very hard-fought battle with Jim Hurtubise. They were side by side for 27 laps, and it started to rain. It was a 30-lap race, so they called it on the last lap, and Bowman was in the lead and won it. And I got a newspaper clipping I just brought tonight that says, Bowman, new sprint car star with Eldora win. He became literally famous overnight, because you didn't just beat Parnelli Jones in those days, and that happened. So there he was. He won the very first race at Eldora, and he got their attention.
And he was honored 50 years later at Eldora.
Yes. What happened was the story of Bowman that I found so interesting. One, I knew it, but there was a lot of legends that popped up after this. Stan, just to get to the point, only drove five more times, I think, in these sprint cars. But what he did in those five events was he ran extremely well. He ran second at New Brema one time. He beat A.J. Foyt at New Brema. Again, A.J. Foyt, who had won the 500 the year before. He defeated Hurtubise. He defeated Jones. And he was running extremely well at New Brema, at Salem, Indiana. at Indianapolis Raceway Park. And so he was clearly getting the attention of everybody right away. And at Raceway Park, Harold Beck's car, the motor blew. And so there was a fire in the car, and Stan was fortunate to get out of that car. These cars were very dangerous. They are today, and they were very dangerous then because of no roll bars. Drivers didn't really wear fire suits. They wore their regular shoes. The guardrails were just wood in places, and telephone poles were about. It was a very dangerous time in auto racing. But Stan was going through that. And when Harold Beck's motor blew, he got picked up by a fellow named Clyde Gusswaller out of Cincinnati to drive another car, which was the powerful Chevrolet car. Clyde Gusswaller had a very top car. So in the fifth week, Stan runs into Brema and runs a second to Herdebees again. And by that point, the Indianapolis 500 people, it was starting to get their attention. And so things were going to happen at that time. What happened was there was a gentleman by the name of Clint Bronard, who was very, very famous in racing. He was a chief mechanic and a chief car builder for Dean Van Lines. And they were considered probably one of the top three Indy race cars. Clint's got an amazing story in that he'd been trying to win the 500 since 1953. And the Indy 500 is a very tough race to win. But his drivers were legends. Bob Schweikert, who would win the 500 after he left Bronard. Jimmy Bryant, who many maybe consider maybe the best, one of the best race drivers ever out of Arizona, who would win the 500 after he left Bronard. A young man named A.J. Foyt, who would drive for Clint Bronard, who won the 500 after he left Bronard. So Bronard had this problem of finding these great drivers, but then they would leave for other reasons, money, different reasons, and then he would go on to win the 500. And in 62, a gentleman named Eddie Sachs was driving for him, who would unfortunately lose his life 2 years later at the 500 and ran second the year before. So he decided he wanted to find another driver. And the word on Stan was coming back. That's this young boy that nobody had ever heard of, young man, I guess 32. A little bit like The Natural to me in the movie The Natural, where he just comes out of nowhere. And Bronard said, I want him to drive my Indy car. So he got a hold of Stan, and Stan went up to Indianapolis and met Bronard. And he said, I want you to drive my car in 2 weeks at Langhorne, Pennsylvania, Indy race. Big Indy car, much different kind of race car. And then he put him in the race car, and he got the belts all lined up, and he said, you're going to be my driver. And Stan said, well, I got another race to run next week at Terre Haute. And Bronard said, I'll be there to watch you. And unfortunately, Stan lost his life there. He was warming up for a race, and one of the front wheels broke off in the car, had an end-over-end wreck, and Stan had head trauma and lost his life a couple days later. So in a period of 6 weeks, and that's kind of the story, this young boy, a young man who came from Covington went from being a rookie to having a ride in an Indianapolis 500 race car, unheard of, literally unheard of in those days. And then to make the story more ironic, a year and a half later, a young man got the ride named Mario Andretti. And I had the honor of talking to Mario Andretti for about an hour one day about this, and it was a fascinating discussion. Because Mario told me, he said, you know, in the early 60s, you'd look around and you didn't know who was going to be there at the end of the year. And he said, you know, you had to be good, and you had to have luck. And I asked Mario, I said, well, how good was Stan Bowman? I was just 10 years old, and I'd heard he had this ride with Clint Bronard and that. And Mario said, yeah, it's all true. He did. Clint talked about Stan. And he said, how good was he? He says, I'll tell you, Bob Schweikert, Bobby Ball, Jimmy Bryant, A.J. Foyt, Eddie Sachs, Mario Andretti, we all drove for Clint Bronard. And Stan would have, too. So that kind of tells you the class he was in. He would have been one of the best.
Well, I was wondering if you could read a paragraph talking about how dangerous these cars were.
Sure. The USAC sprint car scene in 1961 was a very active series filled with famous and soon-to-be-famous drivers like A.J. Foyt, Pernelli Jones and Jim Herdebees, Johnny Rutherford, and several others. The USAC sprint car did not have a roll cage or a fire extinguisher. There was no fuel cell to help prevent a fire. The driver himself was afforded no fireproof gloves or shoes. A pair of goggles and a bandana covering his mouth was all that protected his face from debris. No fireproof masks were worn or undergarments. No neck restraining devices were used, as well as arm straining devices to keep the drivers inside the car in the event the car overturned, which often occurred at speeds approaching 100 miles an hour. In all, when Stan Bowman became officially licensed as a USAC sprint car driver in the spring of 1962, he was entering a world that ventured into that many would not survive unscratched. Mario Andretti said, I'd look around at a driver's meeting and say to myself, I wonder who's not going to be here at the end of the season. And that was very true. In 1962 alone, they lost USAC, and Indy and Sprint Cars lost six drivers. It was a very, very difficult time in racing.
Well, I'm glad you wrote this story.
I'm glad, too. And you mentioned Tony Stewart. What was interesting about that was Tony owns today Eldora Speedway. And he had received information about the story and that. And I got contacted by Tony's people and said they were interested because Stan Bowman won the first race at a track Tony now owns. And we got to talking, and it had been 50 years. And it came up with the idea that he was never honored. Once he died, his name kind of went away. And wouldn't it be good to honor Stan Bowman and Harold Beck, the owner of the car? So what we did was we worked together, and in April of 2012, the 50th anniversary, Tony Stewart, who I had the fortune of meeting and talking to about this, honored Stan that night at the track. And it was a wonderful event. We brought back the daughter of the owner, Diane Beck Lane, and the story is written through her. She was there, and she was 16 years old, and she knew it a lot better than me at age 10. And so we kind of wrote it through her perception of what happened. And then Tony also wrote the foreword for the book.
And he continues a tradition of that track by bringing in, just this past few months, the NASCAR Truck Series came in.
Yeah, Eldora continues to grow. To me, it's like a Fenway Park. If you're a race fan, it's very sanctioned with a lot of spirits of race car drivers. They all drove there, and they all know it well.
Yeah, it's a special place. I've been there many times.
Very special.
Well, thanks for coming in tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Always enjoy talking about racing.
So do I.
John Lucas is the writer of a short story about local race car driver from Covington, Stan Bowman. You'll find a link to the story at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hague.